Welcome back to the Lash Base podcast. Today we have a very different episode. It is our first interview. We have a very special guest. This is episode 19 and we are here with Tara Fisher of Farnham Eyelashes. Let's get started. So here we are then. Before I pass you over to Tara, who we're interviewing, I'm sat here as well with Lash Base Amy. We're going to be asking the questions.
Hi.
So we wanted to do interviews and speak to people that have been there, done that, and been in the industry for a long time. This is because I know you can listen to us talk and give you all our advice, but we thought we'd get someone that has even more experience and can give their views and their advice on how they feel the industry is, what they like, what they don't like, and where it can improve as well. So that's where we wanted to go with this podcast. We're going to be doing more interviews as we move forward. However, we wanted to get someone very special, very close to Lash Base. Believe it or not, I think she'll tell you in a minute, but I think she has been going for even longer. She's been in the industry for longer than Lash Base has even been around. And we've been around for 10 years now. So anyways, without further ado, I'll pass you over. So Tara, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Tara Fisher from Farnham Eyelashes. I'm based in South Farnham on the Surrey and Hampshire borders. I'm actually just entering into my 11th year of lashing, so I've been around a long time. I just also would like to say thank you to Jamie and to Amy for having me here this afternoon to record this podcast.
You're very welcome, Tara. I just want to ask you quickly before we get going, how do you feel today? Because I remember when I first started, it was completely nerve-wracking.
I'm really quite nervous. This is the first time I've done anything like this. And like most people, I expect, I hate the sound of my own voice.
Same. But you'll be fine. Jamie doesn't know.
I do as well. I record these podcasts and then I listen to myself back, don't I?
Yeah.
And I make Amy listen to the podcast over and over.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, everybody hates the sound of their own voice. And I'm sure you, with 11 years experience, you are going to be able to provide so much value to people in this episode. So as you are already aware, we sent you some questions because we wanted you to be able to think about it. We didn't want to put you on the spot. Apart from the end of this episode, when we give you the quick fire questions, because that'd be interesting to find out what your thoughts. So what we want to do is, the idea of the podcast is to provide as much value as possible to people that are listening. So I'm sure there'll be lots of people that are interested in how on earth you've managed to get through 11 years. And I'm sure we'll talk about it soon, but your prices, wow. And your diary, as you know, because you run it very full. So we're going to start with some questions and we'll get your take on it.
Okay, Tara. So first of all, I just want to ask you, when did you get started? I know you've just said that you're coming into your 11th year, but yeah, when did you start?
So I took my first course in October of 2009. Like I say, I'm now entering into my 11th year, which is quite scary. I took a classic course then, and then I did my volume training in 2014. And then my lash game kind of really changed after that when I did some mentoring with Vicky Rugg in 2017, and I haven't looked back since.
What I find interesting, actually, sorry, like I know, Amy, you were going to be asking some questions then, but can't help myself. I find it interesting. So you took your first course in 2009, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then you went 5 years before doing volume. Can I ask, I know this isn't part of one of the questions I sent, what were your reasons for having a five-year gap or trying to master classics? Or what was your thinking behind it?
I think I was just happy plodding along, doing my classics. And volume wasn't really well known of then. And it really wasn't a big thing then. And all of a sudden, in 2014, it had started to get big. So that's why I waited so long.
So if you had to go, like if you were starting fresh now, what would your views be now? Because if you took classic and then it took 5 years to do volume, I get it that volume wasn't a thing, so that's a reason. However, like, what are your views on either going straight into volume, or is there, what would you do now is basically my question, I think.
I think that if you've got the right trainer, then going straight into volume is or can be a good idea. And I've seen some really good results. Vicky Rugg has taught straight to volume and some of her students have been amazing. But I do think that if you haven't got the right trainer or the right educator, then it could end in disaster. On the flip side of that, some students just get it and they just can produce fans straight off. If they can't, then classics is a really good base for them to start. And I think once they've got the knowledge and the basics and they've got, you know, a good few months of classics under their belt and they're competent enough.
Like isolation.
Yeah, absolutely. Attachment. Isolation, attachment, and just all of those things. And I think, and also just having the confidence in the work that they're producing, then it's time to move on.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Tara. So moving on, we just want to talk about your first course. What was it like?
My first course was actually really, really good. It was really in depth. We covered lots of health and safety.
I've got to say that I'm going to just interrupt you. And so 11 years ago, or nearly 11 years ago, you took a course and it was, in your opinion, it was actually good. I feel that is, was that by luck or did you research? How did you find a, like, what at the time, because I know things change, but at the time, how did you find a good course or like a good trainer?
I actually went off of a recommendation and I did do some research. There weren't lots of training companies out there at the moment. I mean, now there are hundreds of people out there training and it's really difficult to make that decision. But at the time, there wasn't.
Did you travel for your course? Did you go a distance?
I did.
Yeah,
I did. It was about an hour and a half away. And I think, again, some people don't want to travel, but I think you have to travel.
Yeah.
When I've trained with Vicky or other people in this country, I've traveled for 2 hours to get to them, or maybe 3 hours.
I think it's interesting how you're planning when you come into lashes or you want to do lashes. This is your career, isn't it? So you're coming in and you want to hopefully have a successful career, which will pay your bills, put a roof over your head and do everything that you have dreams of doing. Yet some people say, oh, I've got to travel for an hour. No, I don't think I'll fancy that. It's the most serious and best investment you can make is researching and picking the right trainer. And if that means traveling, then that means traveling. So
I fully agree with that. However, what I did learn 10 years ago is probably null and void now. If I'd only ever taken one lash course, I would still be dipping with lots of glue. I'd be swiping. I'd be doing all sorts of those awful things that we see sometimes. We're like, oh, God, please don't do that. So much has changed in our industry, certainly in the last couple of years. The styling is different. The health and safety is different. Patch testing regulations are different. The glues have progressed so much. Even the lashes are different now.
Well, tell us then, 10 years ago, because you are right, if you cannot, is it, you can't take a course and then just assume that that's it, you've completed it. Tell us what lashes or what sub products were you using when you first learned, bearing in mind back 10 years ago this was the right thing to do, but what were you using?
Lash base burnt around either.
It's quite embarrassing actually, but I mainly used J's and B's. They were loose lashes. Stop laughing. They were loose lashes and cover your ears, everybody. They were in 0.2 and sometimes 0.25.
Have you got pictures of these? Have you got evidence?
I don't think that we actually had cameras back in those days.
No, it was black and white TVs and stuff.
Maybe something printed.
I did find some pictures from 2011 and they're pretty shocking, to be quite honest.
Wasn't the glue you were using almost like the consistency of Marmite as well?
Yeah, it wasn't far off it, to be quite honest. The styling was kind of non-existent. We used to jump sizes and we used to sort of have really long outers as well. They were terrible.
I even remember that. And even now, only because people buy like two different trays, but the only mixed trays you would buy would be in 2 mil increments,
wouldn't they?
Because that was how you did the styling. Whereas now it's one.
We're saying 1 millimeter, absolutely.
Very interesting.
Okay, so moving on. How many courses have you actually taken now, Tara? Because I know it's quite a few, and especially because you've been in the industry so long.
I have actually run out of space for certificates on my wall. So it's probably around 10.
Hold on 2 seconds. Sorry to interrupt you. I find this is so funny. You will have definitely heard in the background a horn just go off. The same thing happened a few days ago when we recorded the last episode. We have a coffee van that comes around the business park where Lash Base HQ is, and we keep getting caught out by it. But because we don't like to have to re-record things we're already talking about, we just let it run. So if you're listening to one of our podcasts and you hit one of those horns in the background, that just means it's coffee time at Lash Base. So,
and when we listen to this back, Jamie will also think that the coffee van's here like he did last week. It was so funny.
All right, sorry, Tara. So we were talking about how many courses that you've done.
So like I said, I've run out of room now on the walls for all the certificates, but that includes workshops and kind of
conferences
and those kind of things. So the main ones that I've done is I've done, you know, lots of mentoring with Vicky a couple of times, just one-to-one mentoring with her, with Bryony. I've done some one-to-one mentoring, went on a 2-day course with Maven when she came over to the UK, which was kind of advanced styling, done bridging courses and other kind of advanced techniques, as well as, like I say, lots of workshops.
So how many like courses or mentoring sessions do you tend to have like a year now? Because obviously 10 years is a long time. You'd think surely you know it all, or is that not the case?
I don't ever think that we do know it all, because the industry is changing and evolving so much. There's always something else to learn, and you're only as good as your last set of lashes. So I like to give myself a budget in the year. I can't say what it is, but I'd like to try and do some mentoring, maybe one or two a year with people.
Yeah, that's good. I think when we get round to talking about the prices of your sets of lashes, we'll probably have a clearer idea of the size of budget that you probably have available.
You probably go over it as well, Tara. You love to attend events.
I love an event.
Yeah, but the thing is, these like lash events or group training or any of these sort of things, they're good for the networking side of it anyway. So they're 100% worth it just for the people that you meet, and then the opportunities that come from the people that you meet. Because a lot of things that have happened to me in life are probably the same for you, Tara, is because you've put yourself out there. You've gone to these events, you've met someone, you've made a relationship, built a relationship, and then you've had the opportunities. Like, for example, we're all sat here now recording a podcast because we've all met in person before and built relationships and networked at these events. So yeah, they are definitely important. Sorry.
I certainly agree with you on that front. Getting out there and meeting new people, especially for new girls starting out in the industry. I've made some lifelong friends, you know, not only with Amy and Jamie here, but, and Julie, obviously your mum, but, you know, Vicky, Joanna from Flash Last, Dion, all those sorts of people that, you know, we see each other and we support each other at events. I can't stress enough how good it is for the networking.
The lash industry is quite a lonely industry as well, especially if you're working on your own. So I totally agree with that, getting out there and meeting people. And you've kind of got someone to confide in a little bit as well, haven't you? Is that the right word? Confide?
Confide.
Yeah. Confide.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't typically have a staff room. So, you know, during the day I can pop a message over to Rosie, who's our new Lash Base ambassador.
Good plug. Well done.
She actually does my mum's lashes, do you know? But, you know, we can have a little talk about something, about styling, or maybe a little moan about something. And it's just nice that you've got someone in your industry who understands what you're going through.
Completely agree. So that's like lash events and conferences and the group trainings and stuff. So that kind of leads on to our next question of, like, for you, and I already know the answer, but I think this will be helpful for people that are still on the fence. How important to you is continued learning?
Oh, super important. Like I say, I don't think you ever know everything. And if you go on one course and you take away one piece of information from that, then I think it's been valuable.
Yeah, that's it. Right, so moving on to something that I made a bit of a joke about, but at the same time, it's not really a joke. It's so serious that I think, Amy, this is actually our most listened to podcast.
Yes,
we did.
Is.
And it's maybe episode 2 or 3 was all about pricing and how to raise your prices, because there seems to be a problem in the industry, and that is everyone's competing on how to, like, they'll start, they'll pass their course and they'll be qualified lash artist. And the first thing they do is look at their competition and go, right, I can see that you charge £50. I'm going to charge £45 because that'll help me get started. And then I'll make sure that I raise my prices in the future. And then what happens? They don't raise their prices. And then the next round of people that qualify go, oh, look, I'll look at my competition. Oh, that person's charging £45. I'm going to charge £40. And then before you know it, everyone's battling to be the cheapest. And in our opinion, that it's a reason we did a whole episode on it, that should not be even a consideration to compete on price. So I want to move on to talking about pricing with you. And I know I laugh, but so with your prices, firstly, like how do you charge? Because I know there are certain ways of by hour or just by treatment. And then how did you come about to that? Like, when did you make the change from one to the other? So would you mind telling us just a little bit about that?
So I actually charge by the hour at the moment. I know that Jamie finds it hilarious, but I charge £55 an hour, which I know some of you will be really shocked at. But when I first started doing lashes, I charged by the treatment, and I did that for 8 years. And it was only when I went on my Maven training and I'd learned all these advanced techniques and face studies, and I was like, my diary was so busy and I was back to back with clients all the time. And I kept thinking, how am I going to implement all of this new stuff that I've learned? I'm just too busy. I need to do something. So it was at that point that I decided to stop doing classic lashes, and that freed up my diary. And what I did then was I then switched to charging by the hour. So if my clients come to me for an infill, they book for an hour, and that's £55. If they need some longer time, they can pre-book that with me, but they pay for that extra time. I think it's really important that people, I mean, when I first started, I charged, I think, £65 or £70 for a set of classics. So I've never been really, really cheap. I think you need to look at your hourly rate and work out how much you want to earn. You take into consideration your outgoings, and you really need to kind of work out the kind of client you want to attract as well.
And when you made that change, how, like, from getting rid of the classics, I remember talking to you when you were doing this and you were having to pass on your classic students and stuff like that. But when you changed to the hourly prices, and I know you've never been like low on your prices anyway, how many clients did you lose?
Absolutely none. Didn't lose any. So I gave my classic clients away to a lot of girls that I'd mentored or girls that I knew locally in the area. And some of the classic clients did actually upgrade to volume.
Yeah. Clever.
Really clever. Did them with a little hybrid switchover. So that was quite good. But I didn't lose any.
And how is your diary looking now then?
It's still busy. It's not as busy as it was.
I think that out of choice though?
That is out of choice now. I'm getting on a bit and I need some breaks. And I do like to get to the gym a couple of mornings in the week now. Sometimes it goes out of kilter and the work-life balance needs to kind of be reassessed and reset every now and again. But generally speaking, my diary is good at the minute. It allows me to have afternoons where, like this, I can come up to Lash Base and do some work. Whereas before, I would just say, no, I can't, I'm too busy.
So really, your diary is the way it is because you've decided that it's going to be that way. It's not a case of you're just scrambling around trying to find clients. It's you made that decision that you're probably working way too much, burning yourself out, and said, do you know what? I need some time for me. I need time at the gym. Need time with the family, and I want to be able to do other things. One thing which we haven't touched on yet is all of the workshops that you organise and host and things like that. So really, is it a decision that you sort of consciously made to slow your diary down, but having the prices that you have means that you still get to continue living how you want to live?
I think it's all about working smarter. You're absolutely right. I am still bringing in good money. So earning good money, but I've, like you say, I've now got a much better balance.
Love it. Right. Okay. So talking of balance, we're getting towards the end of this now before we do our quick fire round, but what are your plans for the future in the lash industry?
I've got lots of kind of ideas at the moment. I sometimes worry that I'm not pushing myself enough. Lots of people out there, they want to build a brand, they want to have a salon, they want to become an educator, but it can be quite hard work and it is quite stressful. But at the minute, I love doing the mentoring, doing those little one-to-ones with the girls and helping them on their lash journeys. I'm looking forward to doing some more work with you guys over the next coming months. And also just hosting other educators. I love organising those workshops. I've got one coming up this weekend with Lashes on Fleek by Lou, which we're going to be learning the kind of wispy NYC look. So going to be looking at doing more of those. And I have said I'm going to enter a couple of competitions as well.
Do you find that is pushing yourself out of your comfort zone?
Totally.
Yeah.
I entered a competition about 9 years ago when I was first started. And I haven't done another one since. I think I was just so busy building my business. But now I've got some space in my diary. It allows me to have the time to maybe do a four-hour set and do a proper competition set. With all of the training and the workshops and stuff that I've been on, I've just did a workshop as well with Vicky last weekend on how not to suck at competitions, which is another plug for her.
You?
Oh, my goodness, it was amazing how to take the right photos, how to choose the right model. Really interesting.
Vicky, you're probably going to listen to this as you're clearly paying Tara to plug this.
How much did she pay?
I did say I might name drop her once or twice.
Right, okay, so last question then before we move on to the more lighthearted quick fire round and where we hopefully can catch you out, put you on the spot a little bit. But last serious question, one thing that you think is missing from the industry right now?
The main thing that I think is missing is regulations. And I don't just mean for people becoming eyelash artists or to become educators, but it just seems really popular at the moment for people to start their own lash brand. There are people ordering stuff from China and Korea, popping their own label on that and selling things on the market that haven't been tested. We don't know whether they conform to EU regulations. It's really frustrating to see that. I tend to buy my products from reputable suppliers. And like yourself, you know, I know how rigorous your testing can be on the lashes and the cleansers and all those sorts of things that we're producing.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't think you'll be alone with that one as well. So that is quite a big one.
Not something that I'm going to dig into myself right now, because I think everybody knows my opinion on it. And it's one of the unique, shouldn't be unique about Lash Base, it is one of the unique things about Lash Base, that the seriousness and that we put on to testing, onto regulations, and making sure that everything that we're doing is safe and compliant. But yeah, with you, I think it's crazy and a bit scary how many people are doing it, like rightly or wrongly. Again, I have mentioned this before in a previous episode. Like, you either don't know or you don't care, because a lot of the people starting these brands, they're lash artists, and they obviously then want to, it's easy enough to source things from China and Korea once you know. And why or how would they know what testing's involved when the person in China's going, no, we'll just stick a label on it for you and you can sell it, it's completely fine, we promise. Why would they know? But the episodes like this, people like you talking about it, and when I know it's hard for Lash Base to openly talk about it, because it can look like we're potentially trying to push our own products, which is not the case. I think once we get more of this out there, people will start asking more questions, and hopefully these changes can be made. And then that moves into companies, if they now listen to this, understand this, and then don't make any changes, don't do anything, that means they don't care, and they're the ones that I think are a massive worry with this. So yeah, great point, Tara, and quite a serious one to end on, especially considering we are now going to move in, so I'll quickly change it up really quickly. We're going to go for some quick fire questions, Tara. So are you ready for us to give you two options and you have to pick your off the top of your head?
Tara looks very worried right now.
I'm ready.
Right, okay. So first question, Amy, do you want to do the first one? Right, okay.
I think we'll all know the answer to this first one, but ready?
Yep.
Classical volume.
Volume.
Pre-made, love or hate?
Love.
Good. Clear or black adhesive?
Black.
Okay. Favourite tweezer?
I'm going to say Dumont's.
Oh.
Sorry.
20 mil, yes or no?
No.
0.2s, yes or no?
No.
Right, I'm going to speed this up now because I feel like you've had it too easy. Right, so Straight to volume, yes or no?
Yes.
Mega volume, yes or no?
No.
LBX or the premium mink range?
LBX.
Should you need volume certification for pre-mades?
Yes.
Can you get lashes wet within 24 hours, yes or no?
Yes.
Patch testing, yes or no?
Yes.
Brow lamination, yes or no?
No.
You did really well. That was good. That was, right, okay, so I'll do it for the quick fire round. We're going to end the podcast there because it has been long enough. Thank you very much, Tara, for coming in and giving us your time. We're going to try and do as many interviews as we can. It's always good when we can get people to come down to the Lash Base HQ so we can record these in person and have a bit of fun. We're just about to do some more recording with Tara. She's going to do a set of lashes on our lovely model that's just arrived. And you'll be able to see all of that content coming out very soon. I'm going to get this podcast published. But until next week, everybody, thank you very much for listening. And as always, we will post this in the Team Lash Base Facebook group for you to join in and further the conversation. If you agree or disagree with some of the things that Tara said, don't worry, she won't take it personally. It's good to just have a conversation about it. And we'll also share it up on Instagram. So if you've made it this far, do us a favor, screenshot it, put it in your stories, tag all of us, including Tara. Tara, what is your Instagram handle?
It is Farnham Eyelashes.
Farnham Eyelashes. Make sure you always tag Tara in this so she can share some stuff as well. I know that you've been listening. So everybody, have a lovely rest of your week. We will see you very soon.